Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to today's session on creating a culture for cultivating talent and results. This is a topic that's really a critical one in local government. A lot of research is being done. A lot of work is showing up in the professional journals and others about the importance of culture and how actually culture is in many cases more important than strategic planning. So if you're spending a lot of time in your organization on strategic planning, you might also think about what are you doing for culture planning? And what can you do to help make your culture be one that's attractive and effective in building and deploying talent? Because local government is primarily, in many instances, 60, 80 or more percent of the budget goes to people because people deliver the service, and that's why you're so important. So let's take a look. This is a program sponsored by the ICMA Coaching Program. Platinum sponsor is ICMARC. Gold sponsors are ICMA and Cal-ICMA, and we have a 28 state association coaching partners. We're particularly thankful for the generous support of ICMARC. This is a passion that ICMARC has had for building the future of the profession. And they are really dedicated to recognizing the everyday heroes like you who continue to make our communities great. ICMARC is building public sector retirement security. We also appreciate the 28 ICMA State Association coaching partners. You see them listed here. They're a great, strong group and have helped us in identifying presenters and helping to make sure that we're able to get the best presenters and the best topics of interest to you. So let's go and also talk about the outreach partners. We have 8 outreach partners that seek to help us diversify the audience and make sure that we're being as diverse and inclusive as possible, and we're thankful for them. And today's session is really going to be talking about how can you retool your organizational culture. Many local governments still operate from old models, and we're going to take a look at some fresh models, some practical ways that you can go forward and do it. And more than just talking about those and giving you illustrations from other organizations, we're also going to be giving you access to a whole set of resources that you can go to and identify what would be useful for you and how you can apply it in your organization and to do that effectively. And to do that, we have an outstanding panel. We have Charlie Bush, who's city manager in Squim, Washington. There's a population of just a little over 7,000. So for those of you that are thinking about, well, how can I do this if I've just got a small agency? Charlie's the person for you to help you understand how they've done that effectively. He has an MPA from Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs at Syracuse University. He's a graduate of Leadership ICMA, a credentialed manager through ICMA. And he's also a past president of the Washington City County Management Association, one of our ICMA State Association coaching sponsors. So delighted to have Charlie with us today. Then we're going to go to Karen Pinko. Karen is Human Resources Executive for the City and County of Denver. She leads the Biennial Employee Engagement Survey and Employee Top Recognition Programs. She's going to be talking with you about that. In fact, you can even see in the background there her chart of what she's doing with the initiatives of an Employee Engagement Survey. So she walks her talk, and she has an MBA from the University of Colorado. And she's also on the board of IPMA HR Colorado, and that is one of our ICMA state outreach partners. And so pleased to have that professional organization joining with us in these programs. Whoops. Then you're going to be hearing from Nat Rajan Sathira, who is the Administrative Services Director for the Town of Danville. And he has an MPA from the University of San Francisco. Importantly, he's going to be sharing with you what has been a 3-year effort on the part of Cal ICMA to focus on talent development. This has been a statewide initiative. He's co-chairing that. He's going to be reporting on what's been coming out of that effort. And along with Nat is Donna Valancourt, Director of Human Resources at the County of San Mateo. And she earned the Moving Forward Award for Innovative Leadership in 2009. She's been a longtime leader in the profession of human resources, and she's going to be sharing with you as well the things that she's doing in her organization, as well as the resources that are available for you online to tap all the exemplary programs that have been identified through the Cal ICMA coaching program. And I'm Don Baruska, Master Certified Coach and Director of the ICMA coaching program. Thank you all for joining us. So we always have a series of polling questions because we like to make this interactive, make sure that you're having a chance to interact with us. We're especially interested in learning how many people are participating in your particular location. We encourage group learning. We found for every additional person that you have in your group participating, the retention and application of what comes out of today's session actually goes up geometrically. So if you're there as a group, we're delighted to have you and encourage your active participation. There will, again, be a digital recording from today's session available within about 24 hours. Everyone who registered and had their email address entered on the registration will receive an automatic notice of that, so you can share this with colleagues in your organization, things that you'd like to encourage them to do and participate with you to help this be successful. We also will give you the link as well to the full agenda packet and all the information that's available. And our presenters today are also providing what the computer links are on the web to the resources that they're referencing today. So we're trying to make this a very robust program for you, and one that will help you in being as successful as possible. So let's take a look at where we are with our group today. We can see that, well, about 80%, 79% of you are there on your own, but others are in groups of varying sizes up to about 20. So glad that you all joined us, and delighted to have everybody participating in this session. So I'm now going to turn the presentation over to our first presenter. And so let me set that up. And here you have Charlie Bush, who is the city manager in Sequim, Washington. And I'll just take a moment to move the other webcams off. And we'll move forward here. Okay. So there we should be with Charlie. Charlie, if you'd start, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Don. And for everybody out there, for this short presentation, welcome to Sequim, Washington. There's a picture with the Seahawks mascot Blitz at a recent business event that we had here in town. I'll go ahead and advance the slide here. Hopefully I can do that. I don't know why, Don. There we go. Now I'm on the screen. Okay. So Sequim, as Don mentioned, is a small community. We're on the Olympic Peninsula, about 2 hours northwest of Seattle. A small organization with about 80 employees, a little over 7,000 people. We are right next to Olympic National Park. We've got the Strait of Juan de Fuca, which goes to the Pacific Ocean out here. Victoria, British Columbia is across the water. We're known as the Lavender Capital of North America. We've got an elk herd, a lot of great festivals going on in town, and the U.S. Women's National Rugby Team has sort of adopted this as their unofficial practice location. There's a link there to our website and also a link to a video that we put together on how to say Sequim, because a lot of people have a hard time with that, and we can always pick out people cold calling us. The reality is the E is basically silent, so just drop the E. But if you forget, there's a nice video there to help you with that. So as you think about this topic, it really starts with you. And when it starts with you, you really need to default to trusting people. If you start with distrusting people, you're going to set up the wrong dynamic. So really trust people. And then if for some reason that trust is lost, work to try to bring that trust back in a relationship. This is more than public service. Here in Sequim, certainly this is a job for me. It's a job for our employees. We recognize we're delivering public services, but we like to think of ourselves well beyond that, that we have opportunities to find better ways to deliver public services, not only for our residents, but to benefit our entire region, our entire state, et cetera. So we look at our mission as being much bigger than just this particular community. Coaching, I'm going to talk a lot about as we go through this, but coaching relationships are absolutely critical in bringing out the best in others. And it's really critical. It starts with you. So you got to lead by example. You've got to be the person that you want other people to be. People are going to consciously and subconsciously reflect your behavior and the energy you put off. So you've got to really keep a focus on that. Part of that is being authentic, being vulnerable. That will help other people trust you more. Being open to ideas. The sweet spot is when ideas are flying from all over the organization. And you as a manager can really quash those just if you're not in an open mindset. So it's important to be there. And then humility, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more with our leadership philosophy. And I included my contact info as well. I would welcome the opportunity to connect with any of you in the future if you want to follow up after this. So with it, starting with me, I've thought a lot about my professional goal triangle, and it really reflects what I just said about SQIM's mission being well beyond just our community. How can we improve government performance as a whole through what we do here? And we've connected ourselves out across the state and the nation, maybe on a bigger scale than you often see from small organizations, to help us bring back some really good practices and ideas to our community. And those things at the bottom of the pyramid are things that I really focus on a daily basis. I keep this in my office. And the one at the bottom, Attract the Future, is one I particularly like, that the energy you put out is the energy you get back. That's really been successful for me here in the community and beyond for all of us. So that's something to focus on. This particular goal triangle comes out of a book by Angela Duckworth I'll talk about a little later called Drive. And it's also in Pete Carroll's Win Forever. He talks a lot about goal triangles there. So in being you, I'm an introvert, and I'll probably be really tired after this presentation. But for being me, as a city manager, I'm not typically the person on stage or wearing a cow costume at a national conference, but I've done all those things because the tone that I set really has a huge difference on the rest of the people in the organization and what they're willing to do. And if I'm willing to just put myself out there, other people are maybe in lesser circumstances going to put their idea out there, put their thoughts out there. And that's exactly what we're after. So I have done those things. You know, we perform on stage at our annual employee appreciation event, as do our council members at times, and other staff. And it's really, really great. And what that does is by me doing that, others get involved collectively in it. And employees will do things like spontaneously create the opportunity to do some goat selfies at a national conference where it allowed our community to get a little more exposure for an Innovation Academy project with the Alliance for Innovation. Bottom picture there shows a goat coat. We actually did goats for vegetation removal as our project, and our employees spontaneously created a design for a goat coat that has the city logo on it and really brands us as our goats are out there doing their vegetation removal activities. We created a Hall of Fame lip dub, and there's a link to it there, the third bullet down. And that on that, I had the opportunity to certainly be front and center again in setting that tone. And you can see that it reflects our core values. And we've used that for really marketing our organization. And then the link at the bottom there is a link to our Innovation Academy project on goats, if anybody's curious to learn more about what our little city is doing there. And I'm trying to find the advanced slide button, and I'm not seeing it. There it is. Okay, I got it back. There we go. So when you're really getting there, your group is going to start to just do things spontaneously, as I mentioned. And for our Innovation Academy project, we came up with the term vigilante, not we, not me, but our team that worked on it. And I thought it was just a really creative, great description that embodies the kind of engagement that you're looking for in the organization as you're really trying to bring out the best in people and get the best results. So I particularly love the justice on lawless weeds part of that line. So as you get to that collective place and that energy is really building, it's important to keep in mind that managers are critical, and everybody who reports to a manager and their work experience is influenced directly by that manager. So we really focus on encouraging managers to have caring relationships with their direct reports. We have a quarterly conversation evaluation system, which forces conversations. It forces coaching, but it forces folks to have conversations about developing skills and where they want to go with their career and to track progress on projects more routinely than just having the annual evaluation, which a lot of people dread. A book I would commend to you is David Marquez's Turn the Ship Around. And in that book, he talks about mentor-mentor relationships. And I really like this mindset. We encourage our supervisors to have it, where when you're going into a relationship with a direct report, you want to think about what can you learn from them as much as what they can learn from you. And if you go in with that mindset, I think you're going to have a much better outcome. I'm just trying to advance the slide again. I can't see it, unfortunately.
I'll take care of that for you. Just while we're doing that, I think people will be very interested in, you know, how are you doing this? Did you do this organically in terms of the evolution of your sense of organization, the kind of projects and so on, or did you come about it really from a point of view of looking at, you know, a strategy and then sort of putting the pieces into place? I think people would be interested in how you created this robust environment that you've got in SQIM.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that really quickly here in discussions about the high-performance organization model. That led us into a lot of these things. So thank
Great.
You. I'm going to just roll on to the next slide, and I'll get to it momentarily. So it's important to remember that building culture is not linear. You go with kind of a roadmap, but a lot like any road trip, things are going to happen along the way, and they're going to be unexpected, and some are going to be awesome, and some are going to be challenging, and you just have to be willing to be flexible. So it's important to keep that in mind as you do this. Next slide, please. Thank you. So here's the high-performance organization model. This is one of the key pieces that we've put in place, and a lot of what we're doing relates to this. I was fortunate back in 2007 to go through the Senior Executive Institute at the University of Virginia, where this is taught, and I've included links to SEI, as it's known, as well as the LEAD program. We've sent a lot of our employees through LEAD, which is more geared towards directors and managers. And that has a whole, it's a diagnostic framework, and it leads you down. It's basically the roadmap for how you can bring out higher performance in your organization. Having a mission, vision, and core values that's really clear, that's not just on the wall, but something you actually use in hiring and in the process of evaluations and in recognition is really critical. Having a leadership philosophy, and I'll show you ours in a moment, is important as well. And that's really a description of how you view people in the organization. Getting clear around customers, we do some customer mapping. An example down there at the bottom of the screen looks at HR and the customers we saw for HR. And we rate those customers on a level of service basis, with A being high and F being low. And you start looking at, who do we really need to serve? What do we really need to measure? How do we know we're good at that? And maybe we're over-delivering in some cases, and we need to lessen our effort there to really serve the customers that need the most service. So you start looking at all those things and aligning with customers. It's a little bit like a diagramming a football play, where everybody has a particular role to play, and if everybody does their job well, the whole team succeeds, and you're trying to set people up for success based on their strengths. And so that's a fair amount on the high-performance organization model. A lot more of what I'm going to talk about here comes out of that, and I definitely encourage you all to check it out. Lean process improvement, we've done some work with that as well. And we're fortunate here in our state to have our state auditor's office, which through a state initiative is funded to do work with cities. But there's a lot of information out there online that's free. Next slide, please. So this is our leadership philosophy. And I was mentioning humility a little bit earlier because we wanted that to really come through in this. We're a very team-oriented organization. We push decision-making down as far as we can. We're looking for self-motivated employees. And we are wanting to share success as a group. And so those things really come through in this. This is not only, we hold our managers and supervisors to the standard of delivering this. It's not only our expression of how we want to treat people in the organization from those roles, but also for people coming into the organization. It's an expression of what they can and should expect from the organization. Next slide, please. So coaching, developing, and rewarding is key to all of this, and I'm going to talk about this a lot more in the next few slides, but one of the things I wanted to mention on this slide was Daniel Pink's book, Drive, and making sure that you're paying people fairly, recognizing them for good work. Bonuses for certain types of tasks are not effective, according to the research in the book, and can actually decrease performance. And so I'd encourage you to read the book and check that out. We've eliminated bonuses in parts of our organization as a result of that. And the last bullet there, creating autonomy, mastery, and purpose. You really want to think about that in all of your positions, Have you done that? Are you doing that? And if you're not doing that, you're probably not getting the best from your employees. And so you want to start challenging yourself to think about ways that you can do that. How can you give people that freedom, give them the support to develop, and then make sure that they're aligned with the mission of the organization? Next slide. I think we missed one there. Maybe. Sorry, can you go back one? Okay, maybe not. Culture tools. So there are a lot of different tools for culture. And one of the best ones for us has been facilitators. Using facilitators, we've trained 15 of them right out of the gate, super cost effective because they help us with our leadership conversations. So in the HPO model, leadership conversations are long-term strategic conversations that where we create leadership teams. They don't have a hierarchy. Everybody's an equal in the room. We're trying to get the best thinking out on the table. Some of these teams meet just once. Some meet over the course of time. Some are standing teams. Regardless, facilitators can really help, especially when there's any conflict in the room in moving the conversation along. We've also used them out in the community. So definitely something I would recommend to all of you. And then, of course, having those leadership conversations with or without trained facilitators is still really important. A lot of organizations don't get into that space. Innovation, we view innovation really as continuous improvement. It's one of our core values. And we're always looking for new ideas and ways to do things better in our community. And I would encourage you to do the same. Recognizing and celebrating success is critical. We try to have a lot of fun in the organization. We do a lot of celebrating and make sure that people feel appreciated in the work that they do. And then engaging your council. I mentioned early on, the council will get up on stage and perform. They've been great in being a part of this. They also are a part of our employee appreciation work that we do, our annual dinner and breakfast and potlucks and other things. And that just deepens the sense of family. Next slide, please. So additional culture tools. We did the Gallup Q12 survey. And that survey, we didn't go through the formal process. There's a lot of information available online. We were able to basically hack it and go ahead and go do it. We're going to sign up with Gallup next year to do the formal thing. But we came out at world-class employee engagement at 63%. 30% is roughly the average, and we're excited to do it again. But I would encourage you to do it because you'll learn a lot from the experience. And a number of nuggets came out of that for us that I'll talk about in a little bit. Also, fun fitness and food. I've mentioned our potlucks and other things. We do an annual Wii bowling tournament during March Madness, which is a lot of fun, with the final being at an all-staff meeting. We've messed around with mugshots a little bit. We had a mugshot thing going with our police department at one point, and they got my mugshot and had a blast with that. The lip dub and other things. It's just really important to have that injection of fun really throughout the office, throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the year. Next slide, please. So it's important to remember that time is always a challenge, and there's so much more we want to do and we don't have time. And that's just going to be normal. But as your time's limited, I would encourage you to focus more on the relationships within your organization, the interpersonal relationships and the teamwork, and less on the programs and systems. Of course, we want it all, but we've really tried to just focus on let's get it right working together, because as we're working together better, we're going to be able to build those programs and systems more easily. And as you can see, we have a to-do list, and there's always more to do. Next slide, please. So succession planning. We've had a lot of turnover at the top, as a lot of organizations have with the silver tsunami. And one of the best examples of succession planning we have is our police chief. She applied to be the chief 5 years before she was appointed chief. She was the runner-up. She became the deputy chief. She was mentored by a veteran chief at that point. And then when it became time for us, when he retired, to appoint a new chief, it was an obvious choice that she was it. We've done some other work with that. We've done a fair amount of promoting from within for a number of reasons. We now have waves going through public works and police, and we've done the analysis to look at what positions are likely to have turnover due to retirement in the near future. And you go through the process of who in those areas might be good potential candidates, talking with everybody. If there are multiple interested people, we work with all of them. Give people stretch assignments, give them new opportunities, provide some mentoring. The other thing we've done is we have captured knowledge with videos of late with some of our technical staff, which has been really helpful. After people retire, we can always go back and look at the video. How do you do that thing that only that person seemed to know how to do for the longest time? cross training, of course, helps as well. And job overlap. Right now, we have a new person that just started this week, and they're spending 2 weeks overlapping with the person that they'll be succeeding. Next slide, please. Office design is really critical to us. We were fortunate to move into a new office building in 2015, but it was your standard office building with a lot of drab colors. And we've done our best to inject more color into the building and more flexibility. We use a lot of whiteboards. We have idea boards where we collaborate, a whole variety of things. We've taken some inspiration from IDEO. At IDEO, they hang airplane wings from the walls and stuff like that. We're not quite that crazy, but we've taken some inspiration from them, and I left for you a link to their blog as well with some more ideas on how to make your office more engaging and more interesting. And we do paint parties on this frequently, and we're continuing to kind of make it better and better as we go. But the main goal is to have each employee's space be their own so they feel most comfortable there. Next slide, please. So in terms of attracting talent, it's really about leveraging what you have. Everything you do is something you can leverage, particularly if it's obviously if it's positive. It's also important to remember that the negative things that you do can also work against you. But we've got a community in a beautiful setting next to Olympic National Park with all the stuff I mentioned up front. And so we try to leverage all of that in our recruiting efforts. We do acknowledge that we're rural, and that can be a detractor for us. And so there's a
maybe I put them away.
Certain type of person is more likely to work out
here. And I don't remember where I put them.
And the result of that is, you know, that we don't get a huge applicant pool on all of our jobs that we go for. But it's important to keep in mind that we do extra things to try to do outreach to people. You know, outreach does work. We call people who might be interested and encourage them to apply. And when you're small, sometimes you really got to do that. You really got to be proactive. Always important to remember candidates interview you. They're looking at you just the same way. So you gotta see it all the way through. You really got to be who you are. Stale advertisements, we're really bad at this in government, putting those out there. We're not the best at it in SQM yet, but we're looking to improve in that area all the time. Make our advertisements as exciting as it is to work here. Make it easy to apply. We're still working on that as well, but that's definitely a good lesson. And then spend the time in the selection process. You know, if you make a bad selection, it's going to be something you're going to live with for a while. It's really hard to undo that. So just keep that in mind. Really put the time in and make sure you're thoughtful. And then hiring for team skills. We hire a lot for soft skills. We're looking for people who are team players who can work across departments. And so that's key for us. Next slide. Thank you. Growing talent. So, you know, we've got people in the organization. We're a government, been here quite a while. There are a variety of things we do to help develop them. Tuition reimbursement is key for us. Because we're more isolated, we've tried to grow our own talent. We also have those quarterly conversations, try to develop skills, try to have pathways for people to follow. Look to leverage existing programs. All of you probably have an insurance pool that you're a part of, or many of you do. Our insurance pool has all these free training opportunities, and so we try to leverage those, and then the ones we pay for are on top of those, but we don't want to duplicate those unless the quality isn't good, and normally it's great. And then think about non-traditional roles. We're a small organization, but sometimes you have a need, and you know, you might hear from HR, well, that need, nobody's got that job out there, but it might still be the right thing for your organization. It can be a great opportunity for somebody to develop. Also, developing people just with stretch assignments across departments is a great way to go. We try to keep it interesting. We try to keep people just out of their comfort zone. And it's okay if you're developing somebody else's employee. That happens, and that's a part of this whole process. But more often than not, the numbers are going to be in your favor. For retaining talent, a lot of the same stuff applies. You just want to keep people growing, but not growing too much. You know, you don't want to overwhelm them. The second to last bullet, the commitment to being great, I think is really important. We in SQM have just set out to be the very best we can be. And people get engaged in that. They get excited about that. We get small victories. We get medium victories. We get big victories that happen in the organization. We celebrate all that stuff. It builds momentum. People really start to believe it. They really get into it. And then just be straight up with people. We're a small organization. We have limited opportunities for promotion. Sometimes you're going to develop people maybe towards something else, but there may not be a promotional opportunity for them here, and that's okay. Next slide. So we've had some fails and learnings since we've tried a lot of different things. You're always where you are in your journey, regardless of where you start. If we were at 30% employee engagement, which is kind of half what I expected, I wasn't sure where we'd come out. that would have been fine too. We would have learned from that. We would have laid out the roadmap to get better. Take calculated risks, go small and then go big. And that just kind of applies to everything. We tried to do a second lift dub at one point, and we didn't have much energy behind it. The first one was done in 10 days. So we decided, well, we're just done with that. That was a fabulous sell for us. We're not going to be a lift dub every year organization, and that's okay. Couple of things from the employee engagement survey. We were surprised that our connection to mission wasn't as strong as we thought it would be. And so we've done some work with the Drucker Institute on that. We're working on getting individual mission statements that align all the way up through the organization to the division level, the department level, and the city level. And we think that's going to really help us score better in that area. Another one was one of the questions is about having a best friend at work. And people didn't like that question, didn't respond as well to that question. But nonetheless, we're really focusing on those social connections at work and how can we enhance that so we can score better and hopefully have higher engagement here. Sustaining HR training programs can be really tough in a small organization. It's just something to recognize if you're small. I don't recommend mixing 360 feedback with evaluations. I did that in one organization about 10 years ago. Didn't go well, but 360 feedback is valuable as feedback. Evaluations, of course, are essential. Not everyone wants to have fun. The picture there, we did our office Olympics a while ago, and you know, not everybody got involved in that, but a lot of people enjoyed watching. And we just all try to celebrate, laugh, and have a good time together when we do things like that. And sustaining lean can be difficult. We've done some Kaizen events here. You end up with a big punch list of work that you need to do after the fact. And you can see this future state you want to achieve, but getting there can be really tough. So you have to be prepared to be disciplined to go through that process. Next slide, please. So a few slides of resources. Leadership by CMA was mentioned up front. It's a great program. Highly recommend it to all of you out there. The Alliance for Innovation as an organization has really helped us to advance our innovation area. And I mentioned the Innovation Academy. There are great conferences. There are great consortia that are a part of that as well. Excellent information. The Gallup Q12 survey can help you figure out a roadmap to improving your employee engagement, which is really critical to doing this work. Jim Collins, Good to Great, just a great book on the overview of how to transition an organization to a better place. Ken Scott's Radical Candor is awesome for providing feedback to employees through the quarterly conversations we have. That's been one of our key ingredients. I do weekly updates to the council that go to all of our employees as well. Those are all on our website. Highly recommend doing that. It helps keep alignment in the organization, keeps people in the loop, very transparent. I also do weekly videos to the employees on some of our senior meetings that we have, and those also help to do the same and on some special topics as well. Next slide, please. So I mentioned Angela Duckworth's Grit, about applying passion and perseverance for a cause over the long haul. We're really interested in that topic here. The Drucker Institute's a great resource with their public sector playbook. You can check out their website. And then the last two are a couple of Washington State resources that are pretty open source with a lot of good information you can check out. Next slide, please. And so lastly, this is tough work. This may seem like, oh my gosh, I'm doing all my normal government work and then I want to try to create this culture change on top of it. I suspect if you're listening, you're interested in doing this. I hope so. Always remember to keep yourself balanced. This is super rewarding work. It's going to pay off for you. You just got to trust it, follow your way through it, but stay balanced as you go, and that's going to help you in the long run, both individually and in setting that example for your organization. So take time out for yourself. Thank you. That concludes my presentation.
Wow, Charlie, lots of valuable information there, and thank you for identifying all those helpful resources. That's one of the things we try to do with the webinars, is to make sure that people get not only good ideas, but also the backup resources and information to help them think about how they might apply them more concretely to their own organization. So that's absolutely outstanding. We're going to go to a polling question here, because we're really interested in how the audience reacted to some of the key items that you heard from Charlie in this presentation. So take a moment to go through that. And while it's happening, Charlie, I'd like you to take a minute with me here on some of the questions that are coming up, some of the things that people want to learn about from this discussion. So one of the things that's coming up is your small agency. How did you get the resources to do this? And how did you get the support from your elected officials to budget that? And And how do you budget, and how much do you budget for these kinds of things, or is it all embedded out into the individual departments?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch in that. I think, you know, initially, I tried to be who I am as part of my interview process with the council. So I just really put it out there that this is what I'm about. I was very fortunate to follow another manager who set a really good foundation for a launch pad for doing this work. A fair amount of what we did is just about allocating time, and it is hard to find time, but what you find is as you spend some time on this, the benefits organizationally in terms of your performance are really mind-blowing and are way better than if you hadn't spent the time at all. But you got to trust to spend the time to do this work up front to get to the next level. And then from an investment perspective, we made some small investments early on, like with our facilitator team, and we showed the benefits from those investments, both with the council as well as with the organization. And you got to be incremental. So that started to open up new opportunities. And with the LEAD program, we just went ahead and budgeted that. And we were upfront with the council about, you know, we want to send a number of people through the LEAD program. Here's why. I was upfront about the HPO model and what I was hoping to bring here and how it might benefit the organization. And we just went from there. So I would say be incremental, get some early victories and share them. And then just keep going, keep expanding, and the momentum will build. And at some point, you'll find that your elected officials almost are cheering for it to continue. They used to, in one community I worked in, they called it magic, and it's not magic, but it is fun.
Well, super. Well, we want to get on to other presenters because they also have lots of exciting things to share. But as you can see from the polling results here, lots of interest in more than half, upwards of two-thirds or more, being very interested in the kinds of initiatives that you were highlighting. And so I'm already seeing from the comments that people are sending in, they're eager to look at those resources and follow up with you on some items as well. So thanks so much for a great presentation. And we're going to go next to our presentation by Karen Parko. And Karen is going to be helping us really understand some important things about how you really create a highly attractive organization. So Karen, let me turn it over to you here and get you up on the webcam. And we'll get rolling here. So you can put yourself on the webcam if you'd like, Karen.
Oh, I need to do that. Okay.
There we go.
How's that?
Super, thank you. And here are the controls. We're down at the for you to advance, and I'll be glad to help out as you go along.
Yeah, because I think it's hard. Is that the advance? Let me just check that. Well, I'll wait. I'll try that next. Because I may need to ask your help, given that Charlie did. Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, maybe good evening to everyone. Thanks so much for participating in this webinar today. I'm the Executive Director of the Office of Human Resources for the City and County of Denver, Colorado. And what I'd like to share with you today is just the process that we went through as an HR organization supporting our city in developing, changing, enhancing our culture through our candidate and employee experience for Denver. This first slide, I'm going to mention it now because I mention it later in my presentation. Be a part of the city that you love is the new talent brand that we launched last year throughout the city. And I'll talk a little bit about that later, but I wanted to make sure that you had a chance to see it here. So I'll get started. Thank you very much. So let me tell you a little bit, familiarize you a little bit with Denver. We are really quickly becoming a destination city for a number of people relocating to the Rocky Mountain region. We've got one of the fastest growing economies in the U.S. Our unemployment is hovering around between 2 and 2.8%. It got as low as 2.2%, which is pretty low for us. We have about 14,000 employees in the city, 35 agencies, plus our elected officials and independent agencies. And we are a mayor council form of government as well. And our police, fire, and sheriff are the unionized employee group within the city. None of our other employees are unionized. We have over 650,000 residents in Denver City proper, and we're experiencing growth of about a little over 1,000 new residents per month. So you can imagine the level of economic growth, the level of development, finding affordable housing, and the highly competitive environment that's created for us on the HR side. Fortunately for us, we have a very highly engaged workforce. We have 74% of our employees highly engaged. Our turnover is pretty low. It's 13%, and a portion of that are retirees. So our voluntary turnover is quite low. We've been obviously continuing to operate on a very conservative budget with limited headcount growth, but our headcount growth has had to continue as our resident demands for services and things has continued to grow. We've also been changing the composition of the folks that we've been hiring. In past years, we used to hire a lot from government. Now, over 50% of our new employees are coming from the private sector, and they're of the millennial generation, which really means we need to step back and take a look at everything that we're doing from an HR and cultural perspective, because they're all coming in with different expectations, different experiences, things that are important to them, and also, you know, things they just won't tolerate. So we really are stepping back and looking at everything that we do. We also have about 26% of our workforce that's eligible to retire within the next 5 years. So as you can imagine, that is also creating some different work for us to say, okay, we've got people coming in, we have people leaving, how are we preparing for backfills and succession of those candidates? Okay, Don, I may need to ask you to change to the next slide for me, if you would. These are some of the things that Denver is known for. Quite a bit of outdoor activity, hiking, biking, skiing. We're a destination state for that, which is really great. Next slide. But we're also known for this as well. We're like a beer capital here. Other than Donna and Nat, who are on the call with us, we're only behind California in the number of breweries that we have here in Colorado. California has about 680 of them, and we have about 350. So we're climbing, but other than other states that have much larger populations, Colorado seems to be a state where people want to brew and buy beer. And it's also, of course, we legalized marijuana several years ago. We're the first state to do that. And that has had positive impacts on our state financially as well, as I think, from a growth standpoint. But it's also raised challenges for us with laws and regulations and things that we just never had to think about before. Okay, next slide. But this is really what we would like to be known for. We would like to ensure that Denver is known as an employer of choice, a best place to work, where we have a really great employee experience. It's so competitive in the marketplace now that everything matters that we do. And employee experience encompasses a lot of areas like work, home, people, friends, values, their career, their health, and their community, and their desire to give back. So our perspective is to really understand from employees and from our candidates what they value, what makes a difference, and making sure that our city values and the programs that we offer to them are in line with their interests, so that we have the ability not only to attract, but to be able to retain the best talent. So today, I'd like to cover a little bit about our journey of culture and engagement, a little bit about how we retooled to be, you know, more creative, to be more engaging and be more welcoming for candidates, how we listen to employees and we meet them where they are so that we can continue to enjoy the level of engagement that we have and then increase it in other areas or address the areas of concerns that employees might have, how we identified and then paid attention, I guess is the best way to say it, to that employee experience and why it matters so much. And again, how we use it to help us attract, grow, and retain the best talent. The bottom line, though, is we feel it all begins with candidates, is the candidate experience. So we feel that the candidate experience leads to an employee experience, which then leads to, leads to employee engagement. We've really focused on asking ourselves and asking our candidates, how welcoming are we? is the job that we spoke with them about during the interview process, or that we advertise for, is that really what they're experiencing when they get here? How do we help them understand in advance what it's like to work here and be part of the Denver team? How do we help them know how employees are treated and how they're valued, as well as more about the values that, we cherish as part of our organization? And how do we convey what makes people so happy to be here and to be part of the Denver team? We found through that, through those conversations, through those focus groups and surveys, that we really need to be welcoming, friendly, supportive, helpful, and we need to move the process very quickly, especially in a competitive environment, as you can imagine. But we believe that what people experience as a candidate tells them what they're probably going to experience as an employee. So it really has to start there and be very consistent in our messaging. So the next slide here, thank you very much, Don, is, okay, well, what comprises a great employee experience? And where we have a culture that has over 74% of our employees engaged, that's a pretty strong measurement for us. We use PricewaterhouseCoopers as our employee engagement partner, and they've done a great job for us and compared us to the private sector. And in fact, we have higher engagement than many private sector companies. And if we take a look at what Gallup reports, you know, they report government sector engagement down in the 50s. So we're really thrilled to be where we are, but we're also saying, okay, you can't sit back on your laurels here. We really need to understand what programs and things are we offering that get us to that point, and then how do we improve or sustain where we are, and what makes the difference. Governing Magazine, in partnership with Living Cities, each year profiles and recognizes innovative cities, and Denver is one, just like Charlie's organization, that focuses very much on innovation and process improvement. And they conducted a survey and said, well, what difference does it make in their cities, and how do they align engagement and innovation? And I just wanted to read off to you some of the things that came from that survey. One of the things is they create a simple process for recruiting and hiring new employees. 53% of them said that they streamline their processes. They conduct an annual or biennial employee survey. They consider employee input as a valuable component of their strategic planning activities. They make an ongoing investment in employee development and training, encourage employees to innovate, problem solve, and contribute new ideas. They tie employee functions to the goals of the city, and then they establish metrics to track engagement. And finally, they promote local government as an employer of choice. This was a 2018 Equipped to Innovate survey, if anyone is interested in looking at it. So from all of those areas, we focus very heavily on communications and branding, making sure we have competitive rewards for our employees, benefits, compensation, development, et cetera. That we definitely focus on leadership as well as employee development. And we also focus on community, because we've learned that that's very important to our employees. Next slide, please. So we started with the components of our culture. Right? Let's figure out what our baseline is. And looked at our process and saw where would we have opportunity for improvement. And some of those areas I'll cover just very highly, but one was taking a look at your processes and practices. Do you have the right ones in place that allow you to move through the process quickly? Do they support the mission of your organization? Things like that. Do you have tools and systems in place? And are you innovating? Do you really have a culture that provides for innovation? Is there adequate training of employees? Are you open to new ideas coming from employees? And do you have the basic systems and tools in place? Are your rewards programs on target? Are they designed specifically to your population? And how do you know that? How do you find that out? Are you listening to their needs? Do you analyze benefits usage? Things like that. Leadership, again, is what is your level of leadership strength and what type of leadership development are you putting in place? Are the expectations of leaders set, and are they clear, and are they measured? So leaders understand a leader. For us, a leader is a leader is a leader regardless of which organization or agency that you work in. So we establish competencies and things at the foundational level. Development opportunities. Do employees have an opportunity to learn and grow? That's so critical for them, not only knowing that their work matters, but knowing that you are investing in them and that you're interested in what they have to say, where they can contribute, and how they can make a difference. And then finally, communications. We realize that communications is just critical to everything that we do from an HR standpoint, because if that messaging isn't on target, isn't consistent, isn't done in a way that is, you know, readable or something that they will read, something they will pay attention to, it's not engaging, we miss all the opportunities of all the investments that we're making. Kurt, I'll give you a brief comment here. Kurt Kaufman, who was one of the co-authors of First Break All the Rules with Marcus Buckingham, talks with candidates about what's important to them. And he says, our actions tell them whether we believe and live what we say that we value. He says that culture is how you see yourself, not how others see you. So things for us to consider as we go through the process. Okay, let's talk about the candidate experience for just a moment. As I mentioned, we believe it starts with a candidate experience, and you can build from there to lead into the employee experience. Next slide, please. This is probably a little bit difficult to see, but this is kind of an elongated version of a very long process that is part of our Denver's version of Lean, which we call peak performance. And it goes through the process of really dissecting processes and understanding where do you have opportunity for improvement, where do you have opportunity to take things out. This is an example of what we did to improve our candidate experience. One of our areas of focus was how do we reduce the time to fill from the time a candidate, we first talk to a candidate until they're sitting in their chair, we've made them an offer. For us, it was 85 days. And in today's market, that's almost impossible to be able to keep the candidates that you want. It took us close to a year of the entire recruiting team and onboarding team working on this process that you see here, but we've got it down to an average of all positions. Actually, today it's an average of 47 days. It's really, really made a difference, and it was all part of employee-led innovation. We have, for example, within HR, a number of innovations that we've worked on over the last couple of years, saving the city over $6 million in just process improvements and looking internally at how we do things and finding a better way to do them. Things like we centralized our recruiters, our onboarding teams, we got involved in branding, we put the recruiters in a position of being consultants to the hiring managers and really staying with them from the job posting right up until the job is filled. Next slide, please. And so let's go on to the first area, communications and branding. I mentioned to you our overall brand was be a part of the city that you love. These are some examples of posters that we have all around the building, billboards that we have throughout Denver, posters that are on some of our public transportation. These are also on small business cards that I give to the mayor's office and to city council and to managers. If people ask you about what's going on in Denver and what some of the opportunities are in the city, they have a really nice business card that they can give them. And hashtag Where Denver Works, you could take a look at that on Twitter, and you can get an idea of some of the things that are out there about our recruiting. We also started to get very heavily involved about 3 years ago in social media. Our only real presence 3 years ago was our website. It was like a build it and they will come strategy. And as you know, they don't come. You have to go get them. So we really did a lot of outreach. We are on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We did a lot of public postings. We use digital signage in our offices now. We advertise on radio. We just do a lot of things very different because, like many of you, we've realized that if there's no awareness that you're there and you have those opportunities, you won't get the candidate pipeline that you need. This effort has produced quite a bit for us. Every employee is as it says here, every employee is a brand ambassador. We have, as I mentioned, they're on billboards. We have T-shirts. We have a lot of other, you know, collateral that we give to them. Digital signage, as I mentioned, is also something that's very valuable to us. Newsletters, just a lot of things to get the word out, not only to our employees, but to the candidate population. Extremely valuable. Okay, next slide. Rewards programs, as you all know, I mean, we all know in HR that they're very important. And we've stepped back, did a survey, kind of identified where we were relative to the competitive marketplace, because for us, that is now the private sector, and they're in a very different place than we have been. So we took a look at changes like moving to high deductible plans. We have this year a $10 eco transportation pass, so employees can ride our public transportation for just $10 a month. The rest is subsidized by us. We're also working with Bloomberg, Harvard, Bloomberg Philanthropies and Harvard University on a public-private partnership program. And for us, it's in the area of well-being. It's how do we help our employees examine and support, and how do we help support all of their areas of well-being, whether it's their, it's listed here, their health, their life, their finances, and then their career. And you can read that, I think, afterwards, but it gives you a good feel for all the areas that we're supporting there. Okay, next slide. Employee and leadership development is also a really key area of our culture. We realized that we were promoting employees into leadership positions and not educating or training with them or setting expectations about what leadership was in Denver. So we spent a lot of time in the area of building coursework, whether it's blended learning, so some of it is instructor-led. We have an online university where people can access it, you know, 24 hours a day, hosts over 800 courses. We found that our leaders are becoming more and more engaged in their learning, which is really great. It gives us a really strong feel that we're targeting and we're developing the right programs. For example, we've just recently developed a supervisor series, because one of our gaps is moving people from individual contributor up into the middle management area. So we have a supervisor series that's now up and running. We're starting focus groups to develop the manager series, and then we'll have a director series. So we can take care of that. You know, what's always a challenge for all of us is middle management and how do you prepare them. Okay, next slide, please. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about employee engagement. As Don mentioned, on the back wall here is, which you can see if I move over, our heat map of our recent engagement survey. We conduct that survey every 2 years. Innovation, as I've got on the slide here, is enormous area of focus for in Denver. We really believe that employee-led innovation is the way to go, because employees are the ones who are doing those jobs on a daily basis. So we really, really encourage them to innovate wherever possible. We have a university here, and we train not only our employees in black belts and green belts, but we also train employees from other cities and other private sector companies as well on this methodology. It's worked very well for us, and I would really encourage everyone to look into it. If you go to hashtag Den Peak Academy, you can learn more about it, or you can take a look at Denver's website under Peak Academy, and you'll be able to see a number of areas of innovation for the city and outcomes as well. Okay.
So we're going to slip in now with a polling question. You've been hearing a number of areas from Karen's presentation about where they've taken the initiative to improve employee experience, candidate experience, and work it really all the way through. And be very interested to get responses from our audience here in what you see as some areas that would improve your agency's ability to attract and develop and retain the people that are important to your current and future success. And while that's going on for a moment here, let me just cover a couple of the questions that are coming in and a few other things that are coming up from the presentation that you're hearing from Karen. Karen, thank you for identifying all the different resources that you accessed and so on. Mm-hmm. How did you plan and sort of sequence the way you got into doing this? Because obviously you're a large organization and you now have a huge, robust set of programs. But I'm wondering, what are your thoughts about what was your journey in getting to there, and what were helpful things as you got rolling along the way?
Sure. Well, for us, it was an imperative. Actually, the Denver market had become so strong with so many new employers, and most of them in the private sector offering very attractive job opportunities, benefits, rewards for employees, that we really needed to get on top of this right away. It it was a survival tactic. And so we looked at all areas, did some work in all areas throughout the last couple of years. But when we get to my next slide, I kind of have a what you would do to get started. So I'll wait for that.
Great. So you can see some of the areas that were especially important, the employee and leadership development and employee engagement and innovation, as well as enhanced communications and branding. So a lot of different areas in which people are seeing value here. So yes, let's wrap up because we also have great ideas coming from the Kelly CMAQ.
Sure. So this slide, and it's something you can look at afterwards, but this is how we got started. It's really understanding the baseline, figuring out what can you work on, what's most important, taking care of the low-hanging fruit first, and really prioritizing what you need to get done, getting a lot of perspectives from a number of people so that you make sure you're developing programs and things that are valued and meaningful. And then putting together your strategy, making sure you have goals and you have measurements and outcomes and that you track and measure those. And then you get started. And if you need to adjust things, you know, you can do that. It's not the end of the world here. You can make changes as you go. I know we have. And we've always measured the impact and continue to, what we wanted to achieve was it's the whole marketing push-pull strategy, right? And we wanted to get out of pushing things out, and we were interested in creating pull. And that pull tells us that we're on the mark. So I think that's where you would like to go, but you just have to get started. Figure it out, get started, and get moving, because time is going by. That's my advice. This final slide are just a number of resources for you. On the left are, which you can find at our website, are clips at the site here, are clips of some of the videos that we've done that we use in the talent acquisition area that give people we not only sell Denver, but we sell us and we sell our jobs. And so it gives candidates an idea of what those jobs look like. So the videos are here. Our development website is here, Employee Resource Center, a number of things that feel free to take a look at. And always you can write to me if there's anything else I can help you with. I'd certainly be glad to do that. And thank you very much for your time.
Wow. Thank you, Karen, for packing so much into a short period of time and for all the resources that you're providing. Really appreciate you doing that. We're going to be turning now to really report on what has been a three-year initiative undergoing through Cal ICMA to really see how to undertake a statewide effort to boost talent development, the awareness of it, the public support for it, the support from elected officials, et cetera, so that might see how to raise the bar for the full program across the state and to help every agency do better. So delighted to have Nat Rajanasathira, who's the Administrative Services Director from Danville, and now Dana Valancourt, Director of Human Resources from San Mateo County, to help us with that discussion. So let me just get you all set up with your webcams there. And if you'll put them back on so that people can see you as you're presenting, that's super.
Thanks, Don.
There you go.
All right.
Great.
Super. Well, thanks so much, Don. Don and I are looking forward to sharing with you today five key challenges and seven of the many recommendations that we have as part of this multi-year effort statewide here in California. We've heard from Charlie and Karen. They have great recommendations as well. So there will be a little bit of overlap, but we're looking forward to talking to you all today about our efforts. And first, a quick orientation on where Donna and I come from. Danville is located in San Francisco's East Bay and in Contra Costa County, and Donna is from San Mateo County, about 1 hour's drive away from Danville. And Danville is a community that has a residential community, a population of just over 44,000 people, nestled at the foot of scenic Mount Diablo. We're a community that's very proud of its historic downtown, founded in 1858 and incorporated in 1982. We have just under 100 full-time employees and over 60 part-time employees in Danville. So we're a small to medium-sized community out here. And Donna's going to talk briefly about the County of San Mateo.
Yes, Thank you, Nat. So County San Mateo, we're just short, south of San Francisco and north of Santa Clara County. We have miles of beautiful coastline. Our organization has about 5,600 permanent employees. And as Karen was talking about the challenges with finding a attractive, attracting a workforce, we have a 1.9% unemployment rate, which is the lowest in the state. So that's a little bit about San Mateo County.
Great, thanks, Donna. So today our focus will be on the Talent 2.0 report effort. As we mentioned, it's a three-year effort. The report itself is just over 30 pages long, and it's a result of research, a survey of over 350 local government managers and HR professionals throughout the state of California, as well as 11 focus groups that involved meetings and workshops with both county and city managers, as well as HR professionals. This is a view of what the report looks like. You can download it at icma.org/cal-icma, where you can print it out and share it with your HR professionals. So we're going to start off and talk a little bit about the five key challenges that we found. The first one is that vacancies are continuing to be very hard to fill, especially in management and executive positions. The photo of the bus is a reference to Jim Collins' famous quote that you want to get the right people on the bus, get the wrong people off the bus, and get the right people in the right seats. And that's a key finding that I think many of us throughout the country are going through. The second challenge and the second part of this is that poaching isn't sustainable. We must develop and grow people from within. And that's a common theme throughout our presentation, and it's what you've heard from both Charlie and Karen as well. Our second finding here is that internal candidates often have very strong technical skills, but they lack in the soft skills, the core communication skills that are necessary to go into a management role or a executive role. And that ranges from throughout the local government sector, from police and fire to building and engineering roles. The third challenge that we continue to have outdated recruitment and hiring practices. There are outdated civil service rules, job descriptions can be uninspiring and don't really offer a glimpse of what the role is like and what the organizational culture is like. And that's one of the challenges. We have some recommendations we'll be talking about. This definitely speaks to Karen's mention of how the employee experience starts with the candidate experience. The fourth challenge is the lack of flexibility. Some agencies have still outdated clock-in, clock-out rules where we're not as flexible as, say, the private sector as it relates to when people work, how we work, and where we work. Recognizing that in the public sector, yes, there will always be positions that require staff to be at the front counter, at the front desk during the operating hours of the agency. But there are some positions that can be flexible, and being honest and upfront about that is one of the key findings. And then the fifth challenge we're highlighting today is the stodgy organizational cultures. Often organizations can be stuck in their old ways, and it can be very hard to attract talent. Are we a culture of learning and innovation? Is there a culture of trust, a culture of appreciation, a culture of coaching and learning, or are we stuck in a bureaucratic type of environment? So we're going to talk a little bit about the seven key recommendations. Donna is going to lead us off, and I'll be chiming in from time to time. And these are some of the many recommendations of that we came up with as part of our report. And I'll share with you that rather than taking copious notes, recommend that you check out the CalICMA website. There's a talent initiative link on that page that then goes to the report. where you can actually download both the report as well as a best practices compendium. So this is actually a project of the Contra Costa Local Government Leadership Academy, where members of the team from a variety of over 17 agencies throughout Contra Costa County have helped work with Donna and others to put together a list of best practices from throughout the state, and it's categorized by a type of project and the size of the organization. So, Donna, please kick it off with the first recommendation. And let's see if Donna is there. Donna?
Sorry. Okay. A little bit of technical difficulties, but I'm back. So thanks, Matt.
Okay, great. Welcome back.
Okay. I'm going to be providing you with several best practice examples. Some are from San Mateo County, and others are in that very rich matrix of programs and services that I hope you will refer to. So continual development of talent has to be a constant priority for local government. Millennials assign the most importance to the ability to develop and grow when they're applying for a job. In fact, 59% of millennials say that this is the number one factor. And that compares to 44% of Gen Xs and 41% of baby boomers. So again, super important. We also need to be communicating that as a value when we are doing our recruitment processes, somewhat like Karen had spoke about. So what's the best way to accelerate development? Many of you may have heard of the 70-20-10 rule, where the optimal mix of learning is really based on 70% of the knowledge from job-related experiences, 20% from the relationships, mentoring, feedback, coaching, and 10% related to really that traditional classroom learning. So if we want to accelerate development, we really have to look at that 70%. How do we create those stretch and grow opportunities? Next slide, Nat. So one of the examples is the Management Talent Exchange Program, and this is a program in San Mateo and Santa Clara counties that's been in place for over 10 years. What happened with a couple of city managers were kind of lamenting the fact that they didn't have opportunities for people in their small organizations to really have those stretch and grow experiences. And so this is an exchange program where they choose 10 to 20 leaders, high potential managers, and they place them in an entirely different organization for 3 months. They have a different assignment. They have to learn about how to build relationships, how to get work done. And they come back to their home organizations after that 3 months for just supercharged with all kinds of new confidence. In fact, many of our current city managers are graduates of the MTEP program. And so there's a link there to give you all the information that you need on that. Next. Next slide.
Yep, trying to make it work here. Okay, there we go.
Terrific. So another strategy.
It went back too far here. Sorry.
Okay, that's okay. I'll just keep talking. Another strategy to accelerate development is really using interim or acting assignments. Again, thinking about that 70%, those job on-the-job type skills and training. We have one city that has their assistant city manager position, and they rotate that with department heads, which is a great opportunity for those department heads. I know when I came in as HR director, we had division managers, and we took the assistant position, and we rotated the division managers through that assistant director position. Again, changing what reported to them based on what their development needs were. Again, this can cause disruption to an organization, but again, we're continually learning, right, as organizations, and we're invested, the message is that we're invested in your development. Next slide. So I think Karen talked a lot about this in terms of modernizing and recruiting, recruitment and hiring practices. One of the things I think, though, that we can do immediately, all of us, is look at our minimum qualifications, especially for entry-level positions. Are we being realistic? When we're requiring 2 years of experience for instance, on an entry-level position? Have we created unnecessary barriers? So that's something that I think we really, as organizations, need to look at. What are the MQs, and are we being realistic? Next. So, again, this is the it speaks to what Karen spoke about too, the whole branding. How do we brand our organizations? I mean, there's public service is such meaningful work. How do we get the message out here? And this is just an example of our job site where we're talking about, you know, come and join the County of San Mateo, and this is why. So the opportunity to make a difference in your community, you know, in your own backyard, the opportunity to grow, our commitment to your development. Again, this is what people are looking for when they're looking at an employer. A blended workforce, so you can come to us part-time, full-time, extra help, fixed term, contractor, those lots of avenues to come to us. And then employee engagement. We have a focus on employee engagement, and it's important that we message this. So I cannot tell you how many candidates we've had that have said the reason that we have, or the reason that I we applied with you was because we saw your high engagement score. Next. I'm going to show you an example of the city and county of San Francisco. So in there, that area, like ours, of course, we're competing for IT positions with Google and Facebook and all of these, you know, incredible organizations. So they have really done a great focus of branding for IT positions. And they have these wonderful videos of their employees saying, find out why they chose purpose. Again, differentiating the city and county government with the private sector. Next, Matt. And another, here's another where they talk about the simple steps to hire. This is great. I think Karen has talked about how they've reduced their time to hire incredibly by half. And also our hiring practices can be cumbersome, bureaucratic, and they're not very transparent. So here on their website, it just shows here's six simple steps to hire. And if I'm a candidate and I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, oh, you know, I can do that. Next.
And this is a slide that, absolutely, Donna. This is a slide that just talks about how agencies can use social media to help with the recruitment process. You know, agencies do a great job of promoting events, projects, and programs on Facebook and Twitter, but may not always use it as an HR tool. And this is something that we're starting to do a little bit more of in Danville to talk about the job assignment and what it entails in the culture and use social media as a recruitment tool.
So building a pipeline has to start, this is the number three, building a pipeline needs to start as early as possible. And that includes making connections with high schools, the teachers and the students, really to communicate the mission and the meaning found in public service jobs. One of the resources in the matrix is this wonderful job shadow toolkit that was developed by the City of Mountain View. Internships are also such a powerful way to engage youth, and there's going to be many examples, again, in the best practices on internship programs. Fellowships are also a great pipeline. Our first fellow came from the ICMA program, so if any of you are interested in, you know, just starting out with a fellowship, I'd really encourage you to look at the ICMA fellowship program. You just, you know, they do all the vetting, and you just do the interview and the hire. You know, it was such a great experience for us that we created our own fellowship program, and now we have a regional fellowship program. There's so many educational institutions in our area and hopefully in yours that are willing to partner with you. They love the idea of again, the partnership where we have individuals that go into the universities and they guest lecture in the MPP programs and MPA programs. It gives us an opportunity to talk again about public service and about careers in government. And in our case, some of the professors come and teach our workforce as well. So again, fellowships, partnerships with educational institutions, really valuable. Nat, did you want to say something about this picture?
Yeah, sure. One of the challenges we have here in Danville is that we don't have the staffing resources to provide fellowships or staff interns. But what we do have is a youth council, as many communities do. It's while it's staffed by the Recreation, Arts, and Community Services Department, we use the Danville Youth Council as an opportunity to highlight the different jobs and career paths within local government. And we this last year had a panel, not only with our council from a policy perspective, but also with staff to talk about those careers. And the link here is to the Institute for Local Government, which has a great program as well. And the fourth recommendation is to ensure that every manager follows through to support professional development in their organization. I've been involved over the years with the Municipal Management Association of Northern California, where many of the mid-level managers and analysts hear from city managers who talk about how they support local professional development and growth. But unfortunately, the message isn't always getting across to the division managers or the department heads. So Charlie's recommendation of having those quarterly conversations, while we hate to force the conversation, sometimes it's necessary, and building it into the process can be a very a good best practice to ensure that managers are actually following through to support professional development of their staff, and not just talking the talk, but walking the walk.
So we need to provide basic coaching skills curriculum to our supervisors and managers. Again, Charlie talked about that. In the matrix, there is an example from the City of Walnut Creek who's been very generous in providing the entire coaching curriculum. I think they do a three-day coaching courses for their managers and supervisors, and that is all included in the matrix. So performance, the performance revolution is upon us. Organizations are evaluating all aspects of the process from goal setting to evaluation. Recent study showed that 82% of employees and supervisors believe that evaluations are not worth the time. And the same study showed that there's 41% management bias associated with ratings. I can attest that when we moved from doing performance evaluations based on an employee's anniversary date to doing them all at the same time associated with our budget cycle, I saw very clearly some managers that rated very, very high and others that rated low. Ratings can be complicated and can be demotivating. Again, as Charlie said, people want feedback. They want continuous check-ins. They want learning opportunities. They want you invested in their career development. So new programs are focused on, new performance programs are focused on these areas. Again, feedback, coaching, development, and in many cases, eliminating ratings. So here is the landing page for our performance pilot where we are doing that. Again, it's a pilot program with several departments in our organization. Next.
And this is, yep, thank you. Thank you, Donna. Our fifth recommendation to work on refining that onboarding process and engaging new employees. Karen, Charlie, Donna all alluded to this earlier. What we do in Danville is actually put all of the employees hired within the past year onto a school bus and do a tour of the community. We do a downtown scavenger hunt. And they have lunch with department heads and staff members. And it's a way to bring them on board, orient them to the service that they're providing, whether they're out in the field on a day-to-day basis or work primarily in the office. And we found this this program to be quite successful. We've done it for the last 6 years, and we bring guests on board the bus as part of that tour as well. And have fun with it.
That's great, Nat. It's like an extension of that, getting the right people on the bus at the right time, right, in the right seats.
That's right, Donna. Yep.
Okay. Often, you know, our local government cultures are seen as stodgy and bureaucratic. And what can we do to change that perception? I mean, it is all about each organization has their own beliefs and values. One of the things that I like to think about is what is our organization rewarding? What are we reinforcing? Are we reinforcing and rewarding those things that matter the most to the organization? As an example, Santa Clara Valley Water District, they have a strong value of developing employees. And so they have a great talent developer award that employees vote for. Again, they're walking the talk. They're reinforcing what's important to them. In our organization, wellness is really important. And we have an award that employees choose supervisors and managers that are creating a culture of health in their respective programs and divisions. And we have a big luncheon, and the leadership of the organization comes, again, reinforcing the important values. The next is incorporating flexibility. Flexibility isn't just about schedules and telework. Flexibility can mean many things. Eligibility, of course, for remote work. Offering workspaces that can accommodate different models of work, whether it's quiet time or collaboration. I think Charlie talked about IDEO and a lot of the office space design that they have learned from them. Also, leave programs, wellness programs, commute shuttles, on-site childcare, just to name a few. So there'll be a lot of examples of these in the matrix. But each organization needs to be specific to your environment, what you need and you value.
And then the last but not least broad recommendation is to engage elected officials. You know, as local government managers, we try to separate the policymakers from the management side of the business, which involve the people operations. But we do so much of that we don't talk enough about employee development and talent development and succession planning, and that does a disservice to the organization and our discussions about organizational capacity. So we have a number of more specific recommendations, but the broad one is to begin having those conversations with those policymakers and elected officials.
Okay, and we're going to go to a polling question here because you've been hearing lots of different ideas coming from the Talent Development Initiative from Cal-ICMA. We want to see which of these resonate with you. Which ones do you think would help be desirable focal points for your efforts in your organization? Again, we're trying to shift here from, you know, good ideas into great and successful actions. So click off as many of those as you see are desirable. And, you know, one of the things that I'd like to catch you on, both Nat and Donna, is that one of the questions that we get oftentimes is, how do you do this in an environment with the unions, with job classifications, with other sorts of things? And I know that there's quite a high level of unionization in California. There are similarly in some of our state association coaching partners in the East and elsewhere. What have you found has been successful in dealing with that sort of challenge?
Good question. I'm gonna punt this over to Donna because you know we're lucky here in Danville. We don't have a union environment, so we've been able to be more flexible about how we recruit and how we provide stretch assignments. Donna, do you have any insights from San Mateo County?
You know, Donna had to dash off to a.
Okay. Well, you know, there she is.
There she is. Okay. Donna, did you have a comment for us on that? I know that you were encountering some technical challenges before. Are you with us or?
Yeah.
Are there presenters? Karen, do you have a comment about that while we're looking at the polling results here?
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Ahead. And I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question real quickly?
The question was, how do you deal with this in sort of an organized labor environment? And how do you bring about some of these innovations? How do you work with labor to make that happen? How do you deal with job classifications and such that create some challenges to the kinds of innovations that you and the other presenters have been talking about?
Okay. Yeah, I always believe that you're maintaining a very good relationship with the labor management and with your employees in the labor environment is critical. For us in Denver, we have a small unionized environment, so really it's police, fire, and sheriff. And so the bulk of, which is only about 2,500 of our 14,000 employees. So it's small for us, but how we would do that would be making sure that we are working cooperatively with the labor representatives and with employees, educating, communicating, helping them understand the value to them and to the city and to their organization of several of these initiatives. I think so much of it is around communication and listening and communicating and sharing the value and then acting upon it.
Okay, super. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
So,
and Don, real quick, I just
about the matrix here, and I just want to highlight that if you go to the icma.org/cal-icma website, you'll see the access to the matrix that has all the example programs in it that you can just download and look at and adopt as you see appropriate. So that's an important set of resources there, and I'll have more information at the end here about other ways that you can contact our presenters from today. But there was a very helpful listing before that Karen provided about how to get started. This doesn't have all the items in our getting started list, but we want you to think about getting started and taking the next level of effort with your organization and what could be done to advance talent development and a culture of high performance and results. So take a look at those opportunities. We'll get all of our remaining presenters. Karen, Donna had to take off, but invite the others to come on with their
Don, if I could just add, while we're taking the quick poll, just to add to Karen's comment about the union environment, labor environment, the majority of the recommendations that we've come up with are things that can be implemented even if there isn't a positive relationship between the labor and management. Certainly when it comes to some stretch assignments could be some sensitive areas or temporary assignments and hiring, but the majority of the employee engagement, coaching, and employee development, creating that type of culture are things that you can do that are outside of that labor agreement.
Okay, great. Thanks. So here you can see the results. A lot of people seeing items that they can get rolling on and started. We're excited about your interest and your commitment to doing that. Let's just highlight a few final comments here about some post-webinar questions. We always encourage you to take a few moments afterwards to say, okay, what are we going to do with this information? How are we going to put it into practice? How can we start making a difference? Who else do we want to get involved in learning about what was presented today? Maybe watching the digital recordings and that sort of thing. It's all part of really making ideas translate into results. You can also sign up for the coaching newsletter and the whole set of coaching resources that are available at icma.org/coaching. Encourage you to take advantage of all of those. And we want to get some feedback now about how the webinar delivered on what you were seeking and what we were hoping to have conveyed to you in today's session. And while we're giving you a minute to do that, I'll just take a quick look at any other questions that have rolled in. And again, the Cal ICMA Talent Initiative, you access it at icma.org/cal-ICMA, and then click on Talent Initiative. That's in the slides for today. You'll find it there. We'll also be sending you a link to this with the follow-up emails so that you'll have that information. So we'll just give a moment more. Many people are really excited about the ideas that have come through. They're eager to talk with our presenters about it afterwards. Thank you, presenters, for being so generous with your time today and your opportunity to share with others what you're doing and your willingness to be of support to the audience as they go forward. So we can see people got lots of perspectives, some practical steps, some concrete resources, all the things that we were hoping to share out of today's session. So want to especially thank our panelists and presenters, Charlie Bush, Karen Naparko, Nat Rajanathira and Donna Valancourt for doing their outstanding work and sharing their perspectives today. And we want to encourage you to sign on for the future webinars that we've got coming up in the fall. We want to create the best learning resources available, and we welcome your feedback in the feedback from today's session opportunity that you have with the post-webinar survey. And so on behalf of the ICMA coaching program, this is Don Maruska, thanking all of you for participating, especially our presenters, but in particular, you, our audience, people who are concerned about how we make local government be the best that it can be in delivering local services and how to do that through cultures that attract, develop, and retain outstanding talent. So thank you for joining us today, and enjoy your work in this wonderful profession. We appreciate all of you.
Thanks so much.